sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father. If you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to open to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Open to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 is where I would like to pick back up this morning, if the Lord be with us. We have been trying to look here in the fourth chapter as the Apostle Paul is encouraging us in what is required of us to strengthen the church, to strengthen the brethren. For the calling of the church, the first and foremost calling of the church, and y'all do be in prayer that I not get caught up in kangaroos and rabbits, but the true calling of the church, first and foremost, is to come together. Now, we can get lost in thinking that the first calling of the church is helping others. We can get lost in thinking that the first calling of the church is self-serving. Truly, the first and foremost calling of God's church here in this world is for us to come together for the purpose of worshiping God. If we can work together to make that happen, we will have achieved what we need to achieve. Only if we achieve that can we begin to spread it beyond that. I don't ever want to get lost in the day-to-day works that we need to be doing and the things about reaching out to others. I don't want to get lost in that and forget our first love, because the church at Ephesus fell for that. Y'all remember in the book of Revelation, when Christ wrote to the church at Ephesus, they had left their first love. They had forgotten that the first and foremost calling is that which Paul is presenting here in the fourth chapter, is for us to put ourselves aside and come together as the congregation of God for the purpose of worshiping the one that chose us, that loves us, that saves us, that preserves us, that's coming again for us, and that one day we will be with Him in perfection for all eternity. Our first calling is to remember that and to be thankful for it. And Paul is working through this fourth chapter in showing us what that takes. And we've been looking at that for several weeks now, really, that it begins with putting off that old man. And we do that by the renewing of our minds. We can't simply just put off our struggles. We can't simply just put off our pains. We can't just simply put off the past, even. We can't simply put off our own desires. We must put these things off by the renewing of our minds and by our focus on Him and the focus on the congregation, and changing our desire from not being self-centered into congregational-centered. Does that make sense? That we transition into that we renew our minds into the congregational mindset of realizing that our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, are important to us. And that what we bring into it affects that. That we put off that old man by the renewing of our minds, and that we begin to put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we do this in love. We're told that in the book of Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Everybody knows the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians very well. It is the love chapter that's referenced. If I do these things and have not charity, then I'm lost and I'm nothing. We must do these things not solely out of duty. However, we do have a calling and a duty to do these things. But we need to do these in love for one another. That is indeed our calling. And we began looking last week at these examples that the Apostle Paul gives us here. If y'all would, look with me again, starting in the 25th verse of the 4th chapter. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And I'll stop there. Now, I don't know if I'll make it through all of that this morning or not, but that is our calling. That is what is required and what it takes for a congregation to come together. That's not a small feat for a congregation to come together. Y'all think about it for just a second. Y'all really, just consider this. The calling that Paul is presenting here for us, for a congregation of people to come together as one. That's not to say that we're all supposed to be all cookie cutter identical with each other. That's not the calling. That will never happen. There's only one of me. I knew she'd say it. And she's right in doing so. Praise the Lord. There's only one me. There's only one of you. We're all different in different ways. We all have different mindsets. We all have different focuses. We all have different thoughts, propensities, and weaknesses. We all have different strengths. We all think a little different. Some things that I find funny, my wife stares at and thinks, "What was the point?" She doesn't get my sense of humor very often. We all have these differences about us. It would be impossible, if God is not involved and God is not a part of this, for a mixed bag of nuts, and that's no offense to y'all, so don't take it as one, I mean, but just really think about this. For a bunch of different backgrounds and different people to come together in a unified body focused on God, I mean, how impossible is that? But God. But God that is with us and God that is here for us. This is what's required. Because we're different, you know what? Sometimes y'all are going to tick each other off. Sometimes you're going to say something and you're in your mind, and I've experienced this myself. You say something and in your mind you expect to say this, and boy, the person you're talking to is going to absolutely fall out laughing, and then they look at you like they'd rather just knock your kneecaps out. Because you're going to misunderstand each other. There's going to be things going on in your life. You're going to have hard times. Anybody ever have hard times? Struggles? Issues? That you're going to forget that everybody else is in the world because you're so focused on yourself. Those times are going to come. And we're going to have to know how to deal with each other. I don't put that meanly. I'm trying to be just as real as the Apostle Paul is being here. We've got to learn how to deal with each other. Y'all don't get me wrong. I would love nothing more than for the entire community of Gravesville, Arkansas to realize we're here and realize that we've got the truth and to come in and to worship with us. I would love nothing more than that. But before we're ready for that, we got to learn how to deal with each other. That's hard. And that's what the Apostle Paul is putting here. And we began looking at this last week. First and foremost, put off lying to one another. We've got to be open with each other. We've got to be honest with each other. There's times that we're hurting and we need help. And if we hold that back from our brothers and sisters in Christ, then you're carrying a burden that you don't have to carry anymore. There is a blessing in being a part of a family. There is a blessing. I mean, just, y'all really be in prayer. I mean, because the rabbits and kangaroos are running all over the place. You know how strong this little pinky is? That's a part of the body. It's a very important part of the body. It's not very strong, though. But anybody else, one of those people that you go and you buy groceries and you think you need to get every bag in one trip, if at all possible? I'm one of those people. And get loaded down completely, and I can get that little pinky out and get through one bag. That pinky can't pick it up, but it can grip it, and the arm can help it lift it and carry it in the house. Now, that's a silly example. But we need help bearing our burdens. And if we're not willing to admit our burdens, then we can't get help with those burdens. There's a blessing to being a part of a family. There's a blessing to being part of a body. We need to be open and honest with our blessings. Now that should go without saying. We should be a people that want to celebrate our blessings and want to celebrate the things that God does for us. But God help us, we're not. Well, they've had a bad week. I don't want to come across like I'm bragging. Lord help. You know, sometimes the best thing I can hear is just out of the blue, somebody come up to me and say, let me tell you what God did for me yesterday. And you know, some of my problems go to flaking off because it reminds me of things that God's done for me and my life. We need to be open and honest about our blessings and not hold those back. Put off lying one to another and speak truth, because that's what's going to help, because we as a body, as a family, we need that. We need that oneness, that togetherness. We all must do that together. And let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him work with his hands, labor with his hands, that which is good, so that he has to be able to give to those that are in need. The growth and the strength of the body of Christ and the family of Christ is, according to Paul here, from the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Verse 16, it's by what every joint supplies. The strength and the growing is by what every body brings to the table and what every body supplies to the family. We've got to work. We can't expect to come in and put no effort in and still be fed. We can't come in and say we want to put no effort into it and want the body to grow. We can't just come in and not be willing to take part in anything and expect the arm to do everything. That arm couldn't pick up that bag if the pinky wasn't willing to grip a hold of it. We've all got to do our part. We've all got to come in and work together, or the body is not going to be fully fed. We're not going to get away with stealing from God. Now, he does say, buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. I'm going to preach the truth every time he blesses me to preach the truth. No charge. But you're not going to get anything out of it if you're not studying. You're not going to get as much out of it if you're not praying. You're not going to get as much out of it if you're not going to bed and getting up awake and ready to go. You've got to put your efforts into it. You've got to work at doing these things. Don't be a thief. And then we look lastly at let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but rather that which is edifying. Let not the corrupt communication be that which we focus on. We can't focus on the negative. We can't focus on the problems. We can't focus on the cursings. We can't focus on the issues that the church has got. We can't just simply focus. Anybody ever just got lost in a problem you have in your life? Now, I'm not saying that you don't have problems and you shouldn't consider them. I'm telling you to be open and honest about them. But there's a difference in being open and honest about your problems and getting lost in your problem. And refuse to let go of your problem. And refuse to get beyond. There's a difference. It would be very easy. And I'm going to move on because the introduction's taken too long as it is. But it would be very easy for the church to get lost in the problems of the church. Lord help. Most of the time, when I get to visit with other ministers, and I say this to my own shame because I just fall right in there with them. Most of the time when I get to visit with other ministers, other pastors, and such as that, the conversation is about 20% biblical and 80% problems of the church. We're just as bad about it as anybody else is. The churches are small. Seems like people are losing interest. Seems like people are walking away. Seems like harder and harder to get people to be here. We got problems. I know we do. But we can't just focus on them. That's corrupt communication. We got to stop focusing on those, but rather that which is edifying. You know what's edifying? God's still with us. God's not give up on us at all. God's still with us. That's edifying. These things that the Apostle Paul is covering are detrimental to us if we get them backwards. If we consider them in our personal lives and we live a life that is a lie, that is going to destroy you. You cannot successfully live a lie. Whether it be personal, congregational, public, any shape, form, or fashion, these things have destroyed Christians trying to live a life of a lie. Trying to steal their way through lives and doing nothing but speaking corrupt communication and falling down those paths. They've destroyed families. Good Christian homes have been destroyed over these things. And churches have been destroyed over these things. And this next one that we're going to look at, I put it off last week because it deserves enough time to really consider it. Because I don't think we consider it enough. I skipped over this one before. Let's go back and look at it, verse 26. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Emotions. Now, just like I did with the lying and the stealing and the corrupt communications, absolutely, our emotions can and do affect our daily lives. They affect our daily relationships. They affect marriages. They affect workplaces. They affect education. They affect politics. They affect every aspect of our life. Absolutely. But I remind you again, Paul's writing to the church. And talking about, speaking of, things that affect the church. Y'all answer for yourselves. You ever seen emotions affect a church? You ever seen emotions split a church? It'll do it. Our emotions are a gift from God. Y'all know that? And I mean every one of them. Our emotions are a gift from God. When we look at these verses, when we look at the things that are presented here, it would be very easy for me to take a teetotaler type of focus on this and just tell you, you need to get all anger out of your life and all of these things out of your life, and it is wrong for you to get angry over these things. I'm not going to be successful at making you not ever get angry. That is impossible. Emotions are not sinful. Y'all know that? Emotions are not sinful. Emotions are a gift from God. I know that because Scripture tells me that. Well, show me. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Y'all believe that? Y'all believe that we came from God? No questions asked. We didn't come from monkeys. We didn't come from fish. Sorry about that. That's a lie. Even the man that thought it up said it was nothing but a theory. Scientific world's forgotten that. But we didn't come from monkeys or fish. We came from God. God created the heavens and the earth in 7 literal days. I will fight for that and contend for it. I'll leave the kangaroo alone, but I tell you, I will fight and contend for 7 literal days of creation. I believe it's important. And I believe on day 6, we're told that the triune God said, "Let us make man in our image." I believe that. I believe Scripture says it, and therefore I believe it to be true that the triune God said, "Let us make man in our image," and God Himself came to this earth and formed man from the dust of the earth. That's amazing to me. It's the only thing created that it says that He came and formed it with His own hands. Everything else was just an expression of His voice. Let the water bring forth this. Let the dust bring forth this. Let all of these things happen. When it came to man, He came to this world and He formed us from the dust with His own hands, the way He wanted us to be, and He breathed into the man the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. I believe that that's exactly how it happened. In the image of God created He them, male and female, created He them. And that's the only two options. I hold to that. Y'all believe you're created in the image of God? Where do emotions come from? From God. We're not going to go and read all of these because I don't have time for it, but God gets angry. Y'all know that? God gets angry. I've got down Job 4 and 9 and Numbers 32 and 13. Y'all can scribble these down, go look at them later. That's just two examples where Scripture implicitly says God gets angry with His people. Job 4 and 9 and Numbers 32 and 13. God gets angry with His people. We can look at the nation of Israel, and many, many times it says that He was angered with the people of Israel. You know, God has wrath. All out wrath. Romans 1 and 18 tells us about the wrath of God. The crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tells us about the wrath of God. When Jesus Christ was hung on the cross for our sins, not His own, and the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, cried out in the darkness, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Do you know, do you understand what Jesus Christ was experiencing in those 3 hours of darkness? He was not experiencing the punish of Satan. Satan was not punishing Christ on the cross. Y'all, please understand that. Jesus Christ was being punished with the wrath of God in our stead in those 3 hours of darkness when He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was drinking to the last drop, all the way down to the dregs, the wrath of God that was deserving on me and every one of His people. We deserved the wrath, the indignation, the punishment of God for our sins. Killed Jesus Christ. God has wrath. And we deserved it. But Christ took it. Somebody should have said amen. Y'all missed a golden opportunity. Amen. Jesus Christ took that wrath and drank every drop of it for us, so there will never be a day. I'll joyfully take this kangaroo. There will never be a day that I will in honesty say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I will never cry that out in honesty. I may do it in foolishness. I may do it in thinking that He has. But the reality is, He will never forsake me because He did that to Christ in my stead. I will never taste the wrath of God. Chastisement? Yes. Y'all do understand there's a difference in chastisement and wrath. I'll taste His chastisement and gladly do so, knowing that that means that I am a son. But I will never taste the wrath of God. God has wrath. Now this one I am going to read. Y'all go with me to the book of Romans. It's because I won't direct chapter verse on this. This is one that the world doesn't like. Book of Romans, chapter 9. Some of you probably already know where I'm going. Starting in the 11th verse. It says, "For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her," who is doing the saying here? God. This is back in Malachi, where this is being quoted from. God is speaking. "God said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." God is love and there's nothing else. The world will tell you that. God is indeed love. But God also does hate. You can do both. and it not be evil. God is speaking here. God says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. I know that's hard to hear. But I want y'all to hear it this morning. God has emotions. God gets angry. God has wrath. He judges and pours out that anger. God can hate and does. I know the world won't tell you that. The Christian world stays away from that. But God does hate. And it's not sin. Y'all believe that, right? It is impossible for God to sin. It is not unlikely that He will sin. It is impossible for God to sin. Now, just so that y'all don't think I'm going to focus on the negative, God has joy. I'm not going to leave y'all with just the negative. God has joy. Nehemiah 8 and 10. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. God has joy. Why did God choose us before the foundation of the world? According to the goodwill of His pleasure. Because it made Him smile. It is His joy that brought this about. God has joy. God has pleasure. God does indeed have and practices love. Absolutely. Romans 9:11 here again, 1 John 4 and 8, that God is love. Absolutely. God is a loving God. Absolutely. God has emotions. And God is the one that gave us the emotions that we have. Emotions are a blessing. They are a gift from God. I would not trade for the world the love that I have for that woman. Wouldn't trade it for the world. Now, I've talked to y'all about marriage. I know that marriage by Scripture is about more than just an emotion of love that we share for each other. It's two coming together, desiring to do God's will and understanding. I cannot do that alone. I need a helpmeet suitable for me, and she needs a helpmeet suitable for her. Neither of us can do the will of God perfectly by ourselves. It takes that union to get it done, and that is the primary of the union. When the emotion and the butterflies and feelings are gone because I've ticked her off, it's that union that holds the marriage together. But Lord help, I'm thankful for the cherry and the whipped cream on top that is love. And that's exactly what it is. Well, I just don't love them anymore. I'm walking away. No, you need to go back and hold on to them because the cherry and the whipped cream will come back around again. The world's lost that. I'm so thankful for that cherry and whipped cream. I'm so thankful for the love that I get to experience with her. I'm so thankful for the love that I get to experience for my girls. And I'm thankful for the love I experience for y'all. I hope you know I do. Love each one of you. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for joy. That's a blessing from God. Joy is more than happiness. It's more than pleasure. I'm an adrenaline junkie. I'm also a scaredy cat the older I get. It's quite funny to watch. My oldest daughter will attest to it. I love riding roller coasters because they're fun. They're fast. They're exciting. But they scare me to death. Just last year, I got on one, sat down, and they didn't lock me in fast enough, so I got back up and got off of it. And she laughed at me until I sat back down, and they locked me in, and we went, and I had fun. I'm scared to death, but I love the adrenaline junkie. That's not joy. It's fun. It's pleasurable. I look forward to doing it again. But that's not joy. Joy is so much more. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It would be impossible for me to have joy if I was not a born-again child of God. The non-elect, they have joy. They have pleasure. They have fun. They have excitement. But only a born-again child of God can truly experience joy in the Lord. That joy that exceeds expectation, that goes beyond the troubles and the trials. When I'm absolutely at my lowest, I can tell y'all right now, let me give you just a plain example. You know, I'm having fun right now. And I hope the Lord's in it. But I can tell you right now, my back's killing me. Y'all know what that is? That's joy. I'm excited about telling you about God and the things that He's done for me to the point that I couldn't care less that my back's hurting this morning. That's joy. That's more than happiness. That's more than excitement. It's joy. And that is an emotion. That is a blessing that God has given us. I'm so thankful for the emotions that God has blessed us to be able to have. Joy not being the only one. Love and all of these other things. But these negative emotions that we have in our lives, they are a gift from God as well. But the problem where it stops being a blessing from God and transitions into being a sin is the way that we have a propensity of using these things. That's why the Apostle Paul here in the book of Ephesians says, "Be ye angry." Y'all understand he said that? He doesn't say don't be angry. He tells you to be angry. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you, if you sit under the sound of the gospel, under the sound of preaching for long enough, sometime or another, the preacher is going to tick you off. He is going to preach something that you flat don't like it. And you know what you need to do? Just get angry. Because you know what you're going to do? You're going to get angry. Why is that? Because the flesh rules out. The flesh wins. The flesh is our immediate go-to. And we are going to react. I love how Paul puts this in here. He never forgets reality. He never forgets that the flesh is involved in all of this. Get angry. You know what that means? That you were listening. You know what it means if you get angry over something the preacher says? That you care what the preacher's saying. You know, there's a lot of people out there in the world, I put these things online and they're going Lord knows where and I don't know who's listening, and there may be people out there that could not stand the face of John Staten after listening to one of these sermons. You know what? Okay. That don't bother me. Because, not to put this offensively, and for all of you listening online, if you're not involved in the life, if you're not involved in this, I don't care. I can tell you there's people in the world that will hear a message that directly reads from gospel that God hates, and they are not going to like that. I don't care. I can stand flat-footed in the pulpit and tell you that there are only two choices, and that is male and female. There is not anything outside of that. And I can tell you that there are people online that are going to be angry over that. I don't care. You know the ones that get mad and then make me mad because they're mad? The ones that I care about. So if the preacher is preaching something and it offends you and it gets you angry, good! That means you care. That means you're listening. Be ye angry, but sin not. Take advantage of those emotions. It'll make you pay attention. It might actually make you go talk to the preacher about what he preached. I'm supposed to do that? Yes. and you are tight-lipped, stiff-necked people. We might not go talk to the preacher about what we really like, but you just ticked me off, and I'm going to go give the preacher a piece of my mind. Come on. You might actually talk to me. And I know y'all do, so I'm not trying to say you don't. But be ye angry, but sin not. We can abuse our emotions. We abuse the gifts of God on a regular basis. And our emotions are the flesh's favorite weapon. It is so easy for us to allow our emotions to rule us. Paul is giving a truth here that a lot of people do not want to hear. Myself included sometimes. Y'all want to know what that truth is? Your emotions do not rule you. You rule your emotions. Well, I just can't control. Hogwash. I can't help but be angry. Hogwash. I have just got to tell them off. Hogwash. God sat in heaven giving the law to Moses, communing with him directly. All the while, the rest of Israel was at the bottom of the mountain being absolute idiots, giving up their gold and giving up their jewelry and melting it down and forming it into a golden calf and putting it up on an altar and worshiping. And God is communing with Moses. All the while, he is so ticked. He is so angry. He stops in mid-sentence with Moses and says, "Stay here. I'm fixing to take them out and we're going to start over." And Moses says, "Lord, forgive them. Let me go talk to them." And you know what he did? He forgave them. And Moses went down and he dealt with them. God's emotions, if y'all will allow this, don't rule him. He rules them. And the same goes for us. Be ye angry, but sin not. Your emotions will trick you. Good and bad. Y'all young ones, y'all listen up for just a second. I am so thankful for the whipped cream and cherry of the love that I have for my wife. But your bodies will tell you that you love somebody and will make you do things that you may not live over. Y'all go right ahead and love, but sin not. You can abuse even the good emotions. And they'll destroy you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Don't need to be more plain. When it comes to the opposite gender, don't trust your emotions. Was that plain enough? Because your emotions will lie to you faster than you can blink. You best be leaning on more than just emotions, because they'll make you do stuff you may not live over. You may live over them, but you'll always regret. Our emotions can get us, and they can cause us to do things that we should not. And it destroys homes, it destroys families, and it destroys churches. If we allow anger and emotions to rule over us and we refuse to rule over them, he says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Now, I know that verse is often given to marriage and such as that. Absolutely. Now, am I going to tell you that I've been perfect at that? No. There's been times I've gone to bed still angry. Reminded of a story my dad told. He may have been a story, may have been a joke, but talking to a man that had been married for 40 years and was talking to him and said that he had promised on their wedding day that there would not be a cross word spoken in their house. And he said, "We're 40 years in and we're still keeping that promise." Well, man, that's amazing. How are you accomplishing that? We go camping a whole lot. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Absolutely has to do with your marriage, but it has to do with the church as well. It has to do with our Christian relationship with each other. How many churches have you seen split because the preacher preached something that they didn't like and would not get over it? Would not hear otherwise. Would not come talk to the preacher and say, "What do you mean?" No, they sit right there in the pew. They may come, but they sit right there in the pew, and you can tell it's nothing but seething tension coming from the pew. Do you think that helps the body of Christ? No. It is insanely detrimental to the body of Christ for you to come to church still angry about what was said last Sunday. I can tell you by Sunday night, the preacher don't even remember half of what he preached. So I'm letting y'all off the hook. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We've got to learn to let our emotions go. We can't lock on to these things. We get locked in on our emotions and refuse to yield and refuse to move from them. And it destroys us. He says, be angry, but sin not. Let it, the sun not go down upon your wrath. And again, that little grammar lesson that I give you, you see the two little dots there. Verse 26 at the end, the two little dots. That's telling you, let me explain what I'm fixing to tell you. What does allowing your anger to get a hold of you and stay there, what does that do to you? Do y'all know what it does to you? Neither give place to the devil. Our emotions are an open door to Satan and his temptations. If we don't learn how to rule over our emotions, we are leaving our back door wide open. We give space for Satan and his little demons and his little temptations in the world to jump right up in the middle of our relationships and right up in the middle of our workplaces and just tear us apart because we can't control our emotions. I've got one coworker. I've had to talk him off. I've only been at that place for almost a year now. That's hard to imagine. And I've had to talk one coworker I've got off the ledge of quitting three times since I've been there. Because the boy don't know how to let nothing go. He lets some of the smallest things get a hold of him, and he is just tore up from the floor up and just ready to just throw it all away. I'm rolling my box out of here today. I've had it with this place. And every other day of the week, he's just as happy. He loves the people that he's working with. He loves the job that he's doing, and he's happy. But he let one thing come in and upset him, and it just tears him up from one side down the other. Because he hasn't let go of it from last time. And he's leaving his back door wide open for Satan to come right up there in the middle of it. And when we hold on to anger with our loved ones, we are giving space for bad things to happen. And that goes right back to those y'all young ones that I was talking about. That your bodies, your mind, and your so-called love, and that's not putting any detriment to any love that any young one says they have, because I can tell you when I was 14, I loved that woman then, but not anywhere like I do now. But not learning how to control that leaves the back door wide open for Satan to get right up in the middle of it and cause all kinds of havoc. If we can't learn to control our emotions, we're leaving a wide open door for Satan to come right up in the middle of the church and tear us apart. We've got to control our emotions. We cannot hold on to mistakes. Sometimes, when the preacher preaches something and it makes you angry, it's exactly what you needed to hear. Sometimes, when the preacher preaches something and it makes you angry, it's his mistake. He misspoke. Y'all do understand preaching is not inspired of God. I know that might kick some holy cows over, but preaching is not inspired of God. God is not coming into me and speaking exactly the words that He would have me to speak. I hope that He's directed my thoughts. I hope that He's directing my spirit. And I hope He keeps me from speaking falsehoods. I do hope that He does. But these things are not inspired of God. There's a difference in preaching and Scripture. Scripture is inspired of God. There are no mistakes. There are no contradictions whatsoever because they are inspired of God. I hope the preaching to be led of God, but it is not inspired of God. I make mistakes. And God help me, I've made them in the pulpit. Sometimes you get mad, and it's a good thing because I needed to be told. I've gone home and the wife says, "You know you said this." I did not. "Yeah, you did." And I go back and listen to the tape, and sure enough, well, that's not what I meant to say. Sometimes it's a mistake. You know how we overcome that? By not speaking corrupt communication. You just come right up to me. "Preacher, I tell you what, I didn't much care for whatever it is that I said. Just exactly what do you think you meant by that? And let's sit down and talk about it." That's how we overcome it. When you hear these things, and you sit at home angry over it, that's when Satan comes up in the middle of the church. I can think of at least one example that I've been told about here at Salem, where the preacher said something. Not me. Preacher said something and some of the congregation went home mad and never got over it. And you know where they're not now? They're not here. They left the door wide open. And our emotions will do that. We can't do it. Now there's a cure for it. We're going to look at it. But we don't have time for all of it. So we're going to get to that here in a little bit. But y'all read with me real quick. "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." And I'm going to skip 28 and 29 because we've gone over them. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, I'm going to leave the sealing for another day because that's a whole other message that I want to look at. But I want you to understand, I want you to see what Paul is saying when he says that if you are angry and you hold on to these things, you give space for the devil to come up in your life. You are grieving the Holy Spirit. When we refuse to rule over our emotions and we allow our emotions to rule over us, when we refuse to put in the effort at the church and get angry because we're not being fed, when we continue to bring about corrupt communication inside of the family of God, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. That just turns my stomach to think that I do that. Holy Spirit, God indwells every child of God from the moment of regeneration, from the moment that you were born again. Holy Spirit, God takes up His abode in you, and He will never leave you. I told you I'm leaving the ceiling alone, but I can tell you, He will not leave you until the day of redemption. He is there. And everything you go through, He goes through with you. Sometimes He's not happy about being there with you. Now, we like to look at that and say we grieve the Holy Spirit when I've heard sermons, I've heard teachings of you grieve the Holy Spirit when you go to the bar. Well, yeah, you do. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you watch stuff you shouldn't watch. Well, yeah, you do. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you continue to go down paths you shouldn't go down. Yes, you do. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we refuse to not rule over our emotions. The Holy Spirit, God inside of us, groans because we will not listen to Him. We're giving space for the devil to sit back there. And this is that example that you can remember. In the old times, they would always put on the TV and cartoons and stuff. You'd have the little Satan sitting over here and a little angel sitting over here, and they're both whispering in your ear. That's exactly what Paul is saying here. You're allowing Satan to sit back there and just mouth in the back of your ear. You just can't stand them. You know they did you wrong. That you know that he said something you don't like. You should never listen. You should never pay attention. And the Holy Spirit, God's inside you. Tell him to shut up. Listen to me. And it grieves him when we refuse to listen. Boy, y'all didn't think that was involved with just emotions, did you? We want to pigeon that off into sin. We want to pigeon that off into convenient sin because I can convince myself I don't take part in it. With your very emotions, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we refuse to listen to God. That is crying out, Abba, Father. Who's reminding us everything that we need to know. Who's teaching us everything we need. When the Holy Spirit, that conscience is inside of you just burning to death, all the while you've allowed your back door to be open and Satan's just constantly whispering in the back of your ear. It's a conflict inside of us that we can avoid if we let all malice, bitterness, wrath, all of these things be put away from us. Put them down. Don't hold on to them. Now, just like with the old man, you put off the old man by the renewing of the mind. You put on the new man by love. You put these things off and you control your thoughts. You control your emotions. You put these things off by forgiveness. And Lord willing, that's what we'll talk about next week. I do thank you. And God bless.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me?
Sing His praise.
Sing His praise.
The saints in glory.
The saints in glory.
Gather by
the crystal sea.
The crystal sea.